Letter from Jamaica by Marie Dixon Frisch. Read by Carice Harris. Victory at Pear Tree Bottom. Hotel, hotel, them always a bill hotel, the taxi driver muttered as we passed a patch of bush on the way to Discovery Bay. Why them don't build a factory or something make people get decent jobs? That was my introduction to the controversy surrounding the ecologically rich coastal area of Pear Tree Bottom at Runaway Bay, Jamaica. After moving from the dry parish of St. Elizabeth, passing Pear Tree Bottom's potent lushness soothed my soul. The taxi driver, it turned out, wasn't the only one concerned about rumors of a 1900-room hotel development. Neighborhood kids I played soccer with complained the development's new fence prevented them from going crab hunting. Marine scientists warned about impacts on the coral reef, and local organizations advocated for protection of the North Coast's last wetland. Elkie MacDonald has walked at Pear Tree Bottom for nearly two decades. I accompanied her on a few occasions. One time, Elkie showed me a graveyard of brain coral, remnants of the mistakes of previous devil uppers, as activist Irvington Cox Bell calls them. They destroyed portions of the reef while constructing useless groins, you know, breakwaters, in an effort to prevent beach erosion. I joined the Northern Jamaican Conservation Association, NJCA, in 2004. Along with Wendy Lee, the organization's CEO, and other members, I canvassed to get people to attend an April 2005 public meeting about the proposed hotel. When the time arrived, the church hall overflowed, practically sizzling with tension. People jammed the entrance. Some had to listen in from the parking lot. "A lie that," an irate resident interrupted during the discussion of the environmental impact assessment report. "We'd been stonewalled by Hotels Jamaica Pinheiro Limited representatives and Jamaican officials for 2 hours. Sprinkles of laughter relieved taut faces, but many left the meeting dissatisfied, feeling we'd been treated like idiots. After an inspiring environmental law workshop, I decided to photograph how land was cleared and trees burnt before the project received official approval. I prowled the property's perimeter, documenting evidence of environmental crimes and cursing the development. 2 days later, an SUV crashed into the fence. It probably wasn't because of my curse, but the accident reminded me that thoughts have profound effects. I realized my anger was like fuel on fire. Although I fought against short-sighted profiteering, I needed to love and respect the developers themselves. Meanwhile, Diana McCauley, CEO of the Jamaica Environment Trust, JET, was subtly warned against the court action we'd been considering. JET, NJCA, and others proceeded with a judicial review anyway. Persistence paid off. In May 2006, Jamaica's Justice Brian Sykes quashed the environmental permit. He ruled the government agencies had failed in their statutory duty, that they disregarded their own regulations. Though the Pinheiro Group, claiming hardship, was allowed to complete phase one, more was won than lost. This landmark case sparked democratic debate on environmental issues, galvanizing the region's environmental movement. Stakeholders island-wide now apply environmental law and public pressure to achieve their goals. They demand government accountability. And that's victory to me.